Okay, so we have two main goals for today. One is to determine and try and solve the Gemara's problem. What does Kriyas HaTorah look like on Rosh Chodesh? We'll talk about the problem in a minute. And number two, in that discussion, the Gemara comes up with a rule of Kol Psukah de Paskei Moshe Anan Lo Paskei Nalei, that any verse that Moshe didn't, you know, interrupt or stop, so he wrote the whole verse the way it is, we don't interrupt and we don't cut off the verse. So we're going to try and figure out, when I was preparing for the shir, I listened to a shir from Rav J.J. Schachter from Yeshiva University, and he had over 10 examples of times that we violate that principle, and why exactly you do, and each one's its own case, and he went through each one. We're going to pick out just a few of them to go through and try and understand what the literature is about that, and also if there's some type of principle that we can glean. But let's first start with the Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Chodesh. So what is the problem that the Gemara is going to lay out? So on Rosh Chodesh, the Mishnah points out on the previous Amud that unlike normal Monday, Thursday, Monday, and Shabbos Mincha, where we have three aliyahs, Rosh Chodesh we're going to actually have four aliyahs. So what's the issue? Is the way that the parshas are broken down in the Torah. If you look, the first parsha is what I outlined when I gave you a sheet on page number one, which is what we'll call Savas Bnei Yisrael, and that is eight psukim law. Then you have Uvayom HaShabbos, which is the second one, you can follow along with me, is going to be two psukim long. And then you have the Parsha, which is really about Rosh Chodesh, which is Uvarashi Chachichem, and that's going to be five psukim long. The issue is, how are you going to divide this up into four? So what's option number one? Is option number one is to say, let Aliyah number one read three psukim, then Aliyah number two read three psukim. So now you've read six of these eight, but now you're going to be stuck with the issue of what does person number three do? Because we also, and this is the problem, is you cannot, we're going to have a rule which seems to be agreed upon, which is part of the Ramban's whole long discussion, which I left out, but we have these two rules, which we have Gzeira Mishum HaNechnasin, which is a Gzeira that for out of concern for people who are going to come late, and Gzeira Mishum HaYotzin for people who are going to leave early. So what's going to happen? They're going to see, if you leave over, that they're going to assume that the third person is going to read two. And that's why he left over two from the eight. It must be that the third person is going to read two. The person who left is going to get a mistaken impression that we read by Kriyas HaTorah even less than three psukim. And that's really bad. So therefore, we cannot do this option. Right, that was option number one in the Gemara. Option number two in the Gemara is that person number one is going to read four, so you're not three psukim away from the eight. Person number two is going to read four, but now we're stuck. What do you do with two and five? Because two is two. So you could have, say, let the third aliyah read three psukim, but then you're starting in a parsha, one pasuk, you're going to read one pasuk into Varashe Chachechem, right? Four would read four here. But that would be an issue because someone's going to come late and assume, hey, why are they starting one pasuk in? Must be the person before only read one pasuk. So therefore, that's not going to be an option, and the Gemara is going to go all the different options. So the Gemara is stuck. Again, was this was helpful, clear so far? So the Gemara is stuck. What do you do? So the Gemara says that Rava says, I never heard about this case, but I heard about a different case, which is the case of the Mamados. So by the Mamados, it's much simpler. The Mamados were that Yisraelim were, again, they don't offer carbonos in the base of Mikdash, but there was certain groups of Mamados, I think it was 24 groups, that would rotate overseeing the carbonos. That was like some of the Israelim. And the other portion would not go to the Beis HaMikdash to oversee the carbonos, but they had a whole, you know, ceremony that they would do locally. And part of it was Kriyas HaTorah. So the different Kriyas HaTorahs of the different days, they'd read different leanings. So on day one of the Mamados would be the Parsha of Bereishis. So the Mamados has three aliyahs, which is broken up in source number two. The first one we'll call Bereishis Bara. And we should all hopefully know that one. Bereishis Bara, how many psukim is that? That is going to be five. And then you have Yehi Rakia, which is, again, day two of creation, which is going to be three. So how do you divide this up into three people? So this is fine. The third person can read over here, the third aliyah, right? So The third person is going to read Yehi-Rakia. He'll read three. But what do you do about one and two? Right? So we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, the first person is going to read three, and then the second person is also going to read three. How is that possible? There's only eight psukim. So according to Rav, Rav's going to tell you that he actually is dole, which means in this context, usually means to skip or something like that. But here it means to repeat. Rav's going to say that the third pasuk, which person number one reads, person number two is going to repeat, and then read the final two of Bereishis Bara. Shmuel, however, is going to argue and say no, that really he's going to read two psukim. How is he going to read two psukim? The way he's going to do it is he's going to split the pasuk in half. By splitting the pasuk in half, it's like the equivalent of him reading three psukim. So far, so good? I think I'm done with the whiteboard. I think for now. You'll let me know if we need to come back afterwards. So, again, this is the keeping everyone on their toes moment of this year. Switching spots. Anyone have any questions on that? That's the machlokas.
Yeah. So the suggestion of repeating.
Yeah.
Theoretically, I guess you run into the same concern. If a person leaves early, you would make a wrong assumption.
Correct. So that's going to be the Ramban's question, which we'll get to in a minute. Great question. Great. So then the Gemara says, the Shmuel denied the principle. We have a rule, and this is Rav's reason, of kol psukah de lo paskina Moshe ana lo paskina lei. So you can't chop a pasuk in half. That's why he's going to tell you to repeat. Does Shmuel deny that rule? No, Shmuel can't deny that rule, because even by tinokos beis rabban, even when you're teaching the psukim to the children in school, you still have to be, that's going to be the only case that you're going to be able to be lenient to split a pasuk in half, because there's no choice. So Shmuel's going to tell you when there's no choice, then you could split up a pasuk. But otherwise, you can't split up a pasuk. Again, even in school, we didn't really want to allow it. But then, and this is going to be the important line for us, skipping down to the last line of the Gemara, which is, Shalach Rabba Berei, the Rav of the Rav Yosef. Hilchasa Mai. What is the halacha? What's the Gemara talking about? Is that talking about, we mentioned two cases. We had two disputes, right? We had the machlokas number one. We have case number one about Rosh Chodesh. But then we have the parallel case of the mamados. So this line in the Gemara, which is vague, what is the halach about? But what is that referring to? But then we say, shalach lei, hilchasa dole v'amsai dogan. So we know in some case, we're going to repeat rather than break. And the middle person is going to be the person who repeats. That is what the Gemara says. But you see that the Gemara seems to be vague as to what is that line referring to. That the halacha is going to be doleg. What, in which case are you doleg? Are you doleg in the case of the mamados? Or are you doleg in the case of Rosh Chodesh? There's two possibilities. Anyone have any questions on just the breakdown in the psukim and the three in the gzera mishum v'dechnas and ve'yotim? Okay, great. So there's really going to be two possibilities about this line. So we're on page two in the Hebrew, source number three for anyone following along in the English, which is Rashi. Rashi says, Hilchasamai, which case of the two possibilities is the Gemara referring to? Rashi says, very succinctly, you know, this is classic Rashi. Rashi often will drop a comment, and you think he's your best friend, he's telling you everything you need to know. But he's taking a side on a massive machlokas rishonim, and he just tells you in two words. He's not going to be like, the Rashi has less words than the Ramban has paragraphs to make the same point as Rashi. But Rashi says, B'shel mamados, we're not talking about Rosh Chodesh. This halacha is about mamados. So what's the name that we're holding, like Rav, that by the mamados, rather than interrupting a pasuk and cutting it in half, you are going to repeat the pasuk like Rav. What would be the halacha by Rosh Chodesh according to Rashi?
We don't know.
We don't know. The Gemara doesn't tell us.
Although isn't the whole reason we're talking about mamados because that's going to be
so that
framework.
So again, the Ramban has around six or seven paragraphs, I think, going through this whole sugya, and that's part of his question, which is, are these the same cases? Are there differences between these cases? Maybe in one case there's two problems of nichnasin and yotzin, unlike one case where there's only one, and that might change the halacha. Again, the Ramban's like struggling mightily to try and figure out the sugya, and I just tried giving the basic principles, but that's definitely the question that you would want to ask.
Just real quickly, is the main question to people going in and out, is that what
we're worried? So there's two concerns, right? On the counterweight between doleg and posek, whether you repeat or interrupt, is the people going in and out,
and then the number,
and also, but we also don't want to interrupt sukkim. So if Shmuel's cut off a pasuk in the middle. So Shmuel's saying, I'm choosing nichnasin v'hayotzin. I'm going to avoid that concern, so let me just repeat the pasuk. Rav's saying, no, we can never cut off, Shmuel's saying, cut off the pasuk. Rav's saying, no, we can't cut off a pasuk, you crazy? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, and he wrote the Torah the way it is. You can't cut off a pasuk. The Torah has Kedusha, the Torah is written very intentionally. No, okay, the Gzeir Misham and Nechnasin V'Hayotzin, okay, we'll have to be lax in a case where there's no option. But Rashi says, what's the last line of the Gemara talking about? The Hilchos Amai, that's referring to the Mamados. What's the issue with understanding that last line as referring to the Mamados? So the Ramban himself asked the question, even though he understands the Gemara the same way that Rashi does, but the Ramban writes, "V'im Tomar Lama Pasuk Halacha B'zeh V'alom Hamamados Ein Nogin La'Achar Chorban." We don't need to know this halacha. This halacha only applied in the zman of the Beis Hamikdash when they were offering b'karbanos. The Hilchos Al Mashiach. So we needed to know the halacha for the times of Mashiach. Of the two cases, which one do we need to know? Halacha L'Maisa. We need to know about Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh happens every month. How do we not know what the halacha is about Rosh Chodesh? So that would be the reason to not want to read the Gemara the way that Rashi's reading it. Again, the Ramban has an answer, but as the Rashba and others point out, it might not be the strongest answer to the question. But I'm just trying to highlight some of the keys.
So we're saying like they're using Rosh Chodesh as Tadir.
No, that not Tadir Shein or Tadir. If we have two discussions in the Gemara, and we need to know halacha l'maisa, which one, and we're only going to have one halacha l'maisa. Which one would it be? About the one that we're not going to have again until this Mam Mishmiyav, Mehir Rav Yaminu, Mir Tashem, Bekar Rav Yaminu, hopefully. Yeah. But who knows when it's going to happen? Or Rosh Chodesh, which happens on a monthly basis. So obviously it should be about Rosh Chodesh. Again, you might have an answer for a question like this, but this would be a weakness as to saying that it's about the Mamados. However, as the Ramban points out, the Rambam, the Rif, and all the Gaonim did not understand the Gemara that way. They understood the Gemara, which I think is the simple understanding of the Gemara. When the Gemara says v'hilchasa, who is that talking about? That's not talking about the Mamados. Rather, that's going to be talking about Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, this is exactly how we do Rosh Chodesh here in Chutz La'aretz. What's the minhag in Chutz La'aretz? The first person reads the first three psukim. The second person repeats the third pasuk that the first person read, and two more, and then you read the rest, Keseder, because there's no issue. So that's the way that the Rambam, the Rif, are going to read the Gemara, right? And that's what we do halacha l'maisa in Chutz La'aretz. We'll get back to that qualification in a second, right? So that's the way that the Rambam, Rif, and the Gaon read the Gemara. When it says v'hilchasa, it's not talking about the Mamados, it's talking about Rosh Chodesh. So what are the problems with understanding that? Problem number one is, who does the Gemara say repeats? Who does the Gemara say? What's the Gemara's language?
Middle.
So which one fits better with this? The Mamados or Rosh Chodesh for that line? What's the 4 divided by 2? 4 divided by 2 is 2. Who's the middle? By 3, you have a middle person, right? You have the first, you have the third, and then you have the second. So that works very well for Rashi. But who's Emsai by the Mamados? So the Ramban, it's not my question. The Ramban already asked in source number 6. V'ilu b'parshas hachodes, ein shem emsoi al sheni. You wouldn't call the second one a middle child. You know, as one of four, who's the third child, I still think I'm a middle child. And that second and third are both called middle. But that might be one problem with understanding the Gemara as the way that the Rambam and the Rif do. However, the Ramban in source number 7 also has a second problem. And this seems to be a much bigger problem, which is, how do we get into this issue in the first place? What's the problem with Rosh Chodesh? The Gzeira Misham HaNichnasin V'Hayotzin. So we're going to have to repeat another pasuk to try and avoid that. But the Ramban asks, how'd you solve the problem? Let's say someone comes in late, right? They come in and they see the second person getting the Aliyah. So what does he do? He repeats pasuk 3 from the first guy. So what's he going to assume? How many did the person before him read?
The Rishon had 2.
So we are going to create this whole situation. We're going to repeat. But you didn't solve the problem. There should still be a Gzeir Misham and Nechnasin. That didn't solve the issue. So what's the purpose of doing something like this by Rosh Chodesh? So that's the Ramban's two questions. And that's why the Ramban doesn't think that we should read, it doesn't really understand where the Rambam, he doesn't quote the Rambam, he quotes the Rif and the Gaonim are coming from. But the way that the Ramban concludes is actually going to be important for some halacha lemaisa. How does the Ramban conclude? So if you look at source number 8, I'm turning on to page 3 in the Hebrew. Ava haminig shen higua gahonim zal al pisha lehen, dem soy hu asheni dolig, ein kan misha hiski mimam. It doesn't make any sense. Ella she'ein liga b'masa hunag al pia gahonim. We shouldn't change anything that the minug is based on what the gahonim say. The kol shekein b'zeh, she'ein b'minug shalem yishum iser. Again, we're not dealing with iser v'heter here. We're not dealing with things that are forbidden. V'kfar shanina, ayishana adam ne'am achlokes. Okay, I totally don't understand what the gahonim are telling me. It makes absolutely no sense. It's not imsayi. You didn't solve anything, mishum nechnasin. But that's the minug, and that's what the gahonim do. So I throw up my hands and say, I have all the logic in the world on my side. It's about the Mamados, it's not about Rosh Chodesh, but the Gonim thought it was about Rosh Chodesh, and that's what they did for Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we're going to keep the minhag of that. So how do we pasken halacha maisa? Do we hold like Rashi, or do we hold like the Rambam and the Gonim? So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch and others, is that the Shulchan Aruch and the Tor pasken like the Rambam, like the way that we hold, namely the second person who gets the Aliyah on Rosh Chodesh is going to repeat the third pasuk that the first person read. However, the Mishnah, I gave you the Mishnah Berurah in source 10 rather than giving you the whole Gra, but the Gra himself, the Gra argues that he disagrees, and he comes up with a very clever solution, which is that the first, and this is for Rosh Chodesh, really the Gra thinks, like Rashi, that the Gemara is talking about Mamados, and he proves based on Masechta Sofrim that a totally different possibility, which is on Rosh Chodesh, how are you going to solve the problem? Very clever. You have the first person read. You're going to have, let's read in size, and the Mishnah Berurah source number 10. The Mechaber L'Daita said that, Kein Koin Korei Gimel Psukim, V'Halevi Chamisha Atzofa Parsha. So between the first two, get to the 8. And then what does the third person is going to be the one to repeat, not the second one. And the third person can go 3 psukim back, the last 3 psukim of the first Parsha. Why? Because then you're not reading less than 3, you're not leaving over less than 3, and you're starting the next parsha, and that's and he'll read along. The third person is going to read basically. If we're going back over here for 1 second, if the first parsha you divide up by the first 2 people, so the 8 is taken care of by the 2 people, so you're at Aliyah number 3. But then the person number 3, the Aliyah number 3, is going to read, again, the last 3 psukim over here, and the 2 psukim over here. So he didn't leave anything over here, less than 1. He didn't start less than 1, and then person number 4 can read the last 5 psukim, and then you're done. So he, for the Gra, there's no issue whatsoever of Xer Misham Nechnasin or Misham Ayotzin, and it's because he understands that the Gemara in Megillah is about the Mamados like Rashi. So how do we pasken halacha lemaisa? Do we assume like the Rambam, like the Rif, like the Gaonim, like the Shulchan Aruch, or do we assume like the Gra and Rashi that whether the Gemara is concluding about Mamados or Rosh Chodesh? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah in source number 12, the Mishnah Berurah says that the Minug is what we do in Chutz La'aretz, which is we hold like the Rambam, we hold like the Rif, we hold like the Shulchan Aruch. The last line of the Gemara is about Rosh Chodesh, and therefore the person, the second person who gets the Aliyah is going to repeat a Pasuk. And
that's in Israel also?
No. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah Berurah is not talking about Eretz Yisrael. He thinks that that's the Minug. Again, the Mishnah Berurah is not in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to get to Minug Eretz Yisrael in a second. And similarly, the Chazan Ish, quoted in source number 13, agrees. And he has a very interesting Sfara. And I have just a point to add to what he says. He says that the Ramban had the exact same read of the Gemara as the Gra. But how did the Ramban conclude? Right, the Ramban thought the Gemara was talking about the Mamados. He thought the Gaonim make no sense because of Emsayi and because you haven't solved the Gzera Misham and Nechnasin. But what's the Ramban conclude at the end of source 8 that we read? The Ramban concludes, okay, it doesn't make sense, but we don't change the Minug. So the Ramban had the read that the Gra had and rejected and still thought the Halacha should be like the Rambam, like the Rif. So if the Ramban thought that, so then obviously that's the way that we should assume. The Ramban knew everything the Gra knew. He knew the other read. He knew the reasons to disagree, but yet still thought we shouldn't change the Minhag. And I'll just make the point, it's very fascinating, that the Gra, when the Gra is quoting the Ramban's question, he does not quote the Ramban. He quotes the Ran quoting the Ramban. So the Gra did not have access to the Ramban. So he only had access to the Ramban's questions. He does, when the Ran quotes the Ran does not quote that end part of the Ramban, where the Ramban says we don't change the minhag. So it seems that the Ramban, the Gra had access to the Ramban's questions, but not his conclusion, which would make a lot of sense. What would the Gra have said if you saw the Ramban and the way the Ramban ended, and that I don't care what the Sfar is, but we're going to hold like the Gaonim. So that's why the Gra, again, the Gra is going to argue. And as pointed out by Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky in source number 17, which is Sefer Eretz Yisrael, the Ashkenazim and Eretz Yisrael are going to do the exact same thing. Eretz Yisrael, for a lot of things, is going to follow the minhag of the Gra. There's historical reasons for that, based on when the Gra's students made Aliyah, but we'll leave that to the side. Who's Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky? Two things he's famous for. Depends on who you're talking to. He has a very famous Sefer on Avelos, which is Gesher Achayim, but he's more famous from the Ma'iz Mana map, where, you know, you're looking for the earlier time for the fast day instead of Moshe Feinstein. You can see Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky for being able to end the fast early. So the two things. But what we saw right now is we had this machlokas in the Gemara, machlokas in the Mishonim, how we're going to assume. So Minhag Chutz La'aretz is like the Shulchan Aruch and like the Rambam and like the Gaonim. Minhag Eretz Yisrael happens to be like, as Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky points out, is like the Vilna Gaon. When I went to Gruss, I actually was like listening on Rosh Chodesh. I'm like, what's going on? What did you just read? I have no idea what they had read, but it's because they're following this minhag of the Gra, and again, this understanding of the Gemara. So that's ends Ad Kan, first part of the Shir. For the second part, is Kol Psukim Lo Paskim Moshe. We said from the Gemara, we have a rule that we do not interrupt Psukim, no matter what. Okay, we'll make an exception for students to be able to learn better. That we have no choice. But it sounds like we don't have a rule. As I mentioned earlier, if J.J. Schachter pointed out, over 10, it's probably closer to 20, scenarios where we're going to break this rule. So what are violations of this rule? When do you violate this rule? So the Rav has two interesting cases. One is actually this week. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Yisro. So there's a difference, as the Rav points out in Source 15, between Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton. That Tam Elyon is when you break up the Dibros, not by the order of Psukim, but rather by the order of Dibros. So you have certain Dibros, which go on for like Shabbos, goes on for a few Psukim, so you're going to read the whole four Psukim as one long Pasuk. But then you have some Dibros where there's four Dibros in one Pasuk, at the end, Lo Sirsach, Lo Sinach, Lo Signos, Lo Sanav, Recha, Yichaker, and you'll read that all as, each one as its own Pasuk, even though it's really one Pasuk. So according to the Nefesh HaRav in source number 16, that's why the Rav's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, thinks that any Shabbos and also Shavuos, you should not read B'tam Elyon, because that would be a violation of Kol Psuk Lo Paskin Moshe. Because you're taking a Pasuk, Lo Sirtach Lo Sinaf, and you're cutting it up into different Psukim. That's cutting up something that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not cut. So they were actually not in favor. There's a whole fancy Torah of the Rav that maybe there's a distinction between Shavuos and Yisrael, but maybe we'll get back to that closer to Shavuos, special for Shavuos. Okay, another interesting case, which I found funny, was the source number 17, where the Rav says, what's another violation of this principle? The Balkoris. The guys who don't stop between psukim. So if you don't stop between the pasuk, you don't give a slight pause, you go too fast, you are making a pasuk that, and you're taking psukim, you're not doing the psukim the way that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the psukim, because you're now combining two psukim. And he has in the brackets, kim and hagam shahar be'barli kriya. A lot of barli kriya do this, it's not just anyone. So those are some scenarios where the principle, which is not something that you would have thought of, where you could violate the principle. But there seem to be lots of exceptions. So what are some of the exceptions? So one of the most famous exceptions is Friday Night Kiddush. So you look at source 18 and 19. So we have, and so start with for source 19 first. We have Vayechu HaShemayim, which is really the main text of the beginning of Kiddush. But we know there's different minhagim. And that, sorry, so from Vayechu HaShemayim, the original sources about Kiddush, if you look, for example, in Rav Avram Gonsider, what was the original Kiddush? It was only started with Vayechulu, right? Rav Avram Gonsider says, you come home, what do you say? You say Vayechulu, he makes no reference to Yom HaShishi, he makes no reference to Vayer Vayivoker. However, as the Ramah points out in source number 21, even though the Shulchan Aruch seems to sound like the way that Rav Avram Gon said, but in the context of whether you stand or sit for different parts of Kiddush, Ramah points out that you should stand at least at the beginning for a little bit, even if your minhag is to sit, because what would they start with? They would start with Yom HaShishi. that they would add Yom HaShishi. What's the reason to add Yom HaShishi? Yom HaShishi, Vayichul HaShemayim, the first letters of those four words spells out Shem Hashem. And that's why you should stand a little bit at the beginning of Kiddush to make sure you stand up for Shem Hashem. But now we have a problem. Because if you add Yom HaShishi, if you look back at 18, Yom HaShishi is not in source 19, it's in source 18. Yom HaShishi is the end of Pasuk Lamed Aleph, not in Pasuk Aleph. So how can you just say Yom HaShishi and not say the whole Pasuk? So, and it, you know, for certain people like the Levush, and this is the way it's going to be quoted in others, and a lot of people say, even if you add Vayera Vayivoker, the Chassam Sofer says we have to add Vayera Vayivoker, and the Levush says, to be able to make it make sense. If you just have Yom HaShishi, it makes absolutely no sense. You have to add Vayera Vayivoker to make it make sense. So, still, you're not saying the entire Pasuk. You're only saying part of the Pasuk. So the Chassam Sofer has this whole fancy answer that you can't say the whole pasuk because then you'd be referencing Tov Me'od, which is a reference to Misa. When the pasuk says that on the sixth day, Vayar Elokim has kol asher asav v'hinei Tov Me'od, it was very good. So the Medrash says that's a reference to death. And the Chassam Sofer says, oh, we don't want to reference death on Friday night Kiddush. So therefore, you can't say the entire pasuk. So that's why we're going. It's a case where it's not possible, just like those school kids. And therefore, since you have no choice, you're not going to say the whole pasuk. And we'll start with Vayera Vayivoker. Yeah.
Maybe the answer why the answer to Dennis's question, you say it quietly.
So it could be that's why you say it quietly, and maybe you're trying to minimize it as much as possible. That's something that I have to look back at. It's interesting, suggestion. It seems to make sense. But the Rav is quoted in Source 723. Heard this suggestion not from he didn't. It seems from the story the way the Rav Shechter says it, he didn't know that the Chassam Sofer said it. He heard some Chacham suggest it, and the Rav laughed and says, no, that's not the pshat. That can't be the pshat. So the Rav, it seems like, actually had the minug that he would recite the entire pasuk. He'd start at Vayar Elokim Es Kol Asher Asav. He told him the old Vayera Vayivoker Yom HaShishi. He'd say that all quietly because he assumed that to start at Vayera Vayivoker would in fact violate the principle of Kol Pesukim Lo Paskim Moshe Anan Lo Paskin Anlay. And this we're going to see is a consistent theme in the Rav. So another example of this principle is also on Shabbos morning, right? Where are you supposed to start Kiddush on Shabbos morning?
Isn't there another place at Tov Me'od? Is it only one place that says Tov Me'od?
No, I think in by Yom Shishi. I'm pretty sure. I think only Yom Shishi. And there's a whole discussion as to why, but the Medrash says it because it's a reference to death. That somehow, again, when Rav Shachter quoted it, he's like, I don't understand the Medrash. But the point is that the Chassam Sofer understood the Medrash and you shouldn't say it. So why is Tov Me'od a reference to death? Apparently death's a good thing. And it's not just a good thing, it's a very good thing, Tov Me'od. So what is the Kiddush? So the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes down on Kiddush on Shabbos morning, you just say Bori Priya Gafen. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, some people have the minug in source 26. Some people have the minug to say Shamor, some have the minug to say Zachor, and those are fine minhagim. And then he quotes these people who have the minug to just say, Alkein Berech Zimot Shabbos Veikacheyu. And he says, that's a problem. You can't do that because that's Kol Psukit Lo Paskin Moshe Anan Lo Paskinan. So that's going to be an issue. So the Maharam Shik in source 27 defends the minug. Again, the Maharam Shik was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. So he points out that the Chassam Sofer already solved Kiddush Friday night. Let me answer Kiddush Shabbos Day. And he basically distinguishes between when you're quoting Psukim as an obligation to recite as Psukim versus something which you're saying as a flowerly language to, you know, be able to show that Hashem bless us on this day and we're quoting Psukim to make it sound, you know, articulate, make it sound really nice. And therefore, that's not going to be an issue. So that's another a famous example. And then just a couple other ones is Hagba, right? So we have two psukim that we recite by Hagba. If you look at source 28, Vizosa Torah Asher Sam Moshev Nei Ben Israel. So that's a whole pasuk, not a problem. However, how do we end the phrase? Al Pi Hashem Biad Moshe. So that in source 29 is the last four words in Bamidbar Tes Chaf Gimel, right? So that's going to be an issue, right? Because the first part is a pasuk, but why are we splitting the second pasuk into two? So as the Rav points out in source number 30, Rav Chaim Volozhiner was very upset by this. And the Rav also was very upset by this. And this is the Rav consistently is bothered by these issues and is going to say, I am not going to do this. I'm not going to follow Minhag Olam. And therefore, I'm going to recite the entire pasuk. So he said, we'll say, Vizosa Torah, Shir Sam Moshe, Lef Nei B'nei Yisrael, Al Pi Hashem Yachad, Al Pi Hashem Yisoas, Mishmeres Hashem Shamaro, Al Pi Hashem B'yam Moshe. And I guess that will give him more things to do while they're doing Hagba and Glila. We'll give him time to finish that. But that is just one another example. One final example that the Rav was makbid about this idea, and then we're going to have to just make one point at the end, which is Vigomer. that the Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh Rav, source number 31, that when the Rav would publish articles, whenever he'd quote a pasuk, he'd write Vigomer. And certain publishers would send back edits, and they got rid of his Vigomer, which is used to show that there's more to the pasuk, and they write back, don't take that out, don't write that, write a few dots. A few dots will show you that there's more to the pasuk. And the Rav was very bothered by this, and he insisted on writing Vigomer, because he thought if you write part of a pasuk, you need to finish it. And okay, you're not always going to write out. And there's this, you know, tradition from the people who wrote Svarim earlier when you write part of a pasuk to write Vigomer. And that might not violate the principle of Kol Psukei. But writing a few dots, how do we know that that's a good substitute? So that itself might be a principle of Kol Psukei. From the Rav, we have three interesting examples where he was Makbid. We have, again, there's another one by Bris Mila, but I left it out. We have Hagba, we have Kiddush on Friday night, and now we have Vigomer. However, again, I want to argue that there seems to be, this is an interesting example in the Derech HaLimud of the Rav, that there's this principle that you guys did not get to yet, which is that we have another famous example of this. What's another famous example of this? And this might be the most egregious of the bunch. Hashem, Hashem, Kerachim, Yugim Omidos. So, Nake is literally in the middle, not in the middle of a pasuk, it's in the middle of a phrase, right, for the Bali Kriya here. The Nake lo yinake. So how are you going to just stop that? To interrupt that, if we have a rule, Kol Psukei Lo Paskei Moshe, Ana Lo Paskinan Leih. So the Rav points out that the Gemara already tells us that Hashem wrapped himself like a Shliach Tzibur in a talis and said, say this. And according to the Rav, and quoted in the two different ideas in Rishimos and Source 33 in Brachos, and the Rav Shirman Kilchus Kriyas HaTorah, this was teaching us an important idea, which is that the Isser of Kol Psukei only applies to things which are read b'derech mikra. I'm reading Torah Shebichsav to read it as a pasuk. So I'm reading Kriyas HaTorah, so that's going to be a problem. But anything which is a tzchina, anything which is a bakasha, anything which like the Yod Gimel Midos, we're asking Hashem to invoke Hashem's attributes, so that's going to be completely permissible. And he says that will explain also all these examples that we're going to have, because those are set in the context of tefillah. So something like tefillah is going to make a lot of sense. And there's a Magen Avraham that sounds exactly like this. I just want to finish with one point. Is it seems like this, you know, we have a little bit of a contradiction in the Rav. We have three examples that the Rav is going to be strict. Well, he's even going to be strict on Vigomer. He won't allow the three dots when he writes an article. But yet he has this Lundish idea that he said in his shiurim to justify almost all the scenarios you can come up with, as long as it's not said at Betoris Mikra, and you say it as a Trina, you say it as a Bakasha. Again, why are you invoking on Kiddush? We could go through each one. Why are you saying in each case? But why did he not just suggest that? Why did he act differently? So this is my Kiddush. I didn't see anyone say this. But I think this is the Rav very consistent, very Lishitaso. Which is the Rav had ideas that he suggested in Shir, and Rav Shechter will record it in the Shiurei HaGrid, in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, and Rav Reichlin will record it in Rishimos Shiurim. And again, it's trying to evoke, to try and answer the question of a sugya. But that does not mean that he thought that that was the way to Paskin Halach L'maisa. That he'll have a scenario where the Lumdus might say one thing to answer a certain problem, but the Halach L'maisa, I'm going to be strict. Okay, and I might have a possible suggestion that it's only going to apply B'toris Mikra, but am I confident enough? No. Even the Vigomers, I got to be strict about. So just summarize what we saw. We saw the discussion, the Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Chodesh. Really, the main machlokas between Rashi and the Gra versus the Rambam Rif, Gaonim, and the Ramban's ultimate conclusion. We saw that the different minhagim, that we have minhag chutz laaretz, follows Shulchan Aruch and the Gaonim, and that the Gra is going to be the minhag Eretz Yisrael, as pointed out Rav Yechiel Michal Tufenchinsky. And then we had the case of Kol Psukei Lo Paskein Moshe. We talked about two examples where you might not think of our violations. And finally, a few examples, just again, of double digits in the examples of cases where we seem to not follow the principle. And as Rav Shachter ended it, it's Kol Psukei Lo Paskein Moshe. It really teaches us this important idea of the Kedusha, the inherent sanctity of Torah Shebichsav, and how we really shouldn't alter or change anything about it.